Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Today is May 3rd. The Yankees are on an absolute heater. We're going to talk about why that is and who's been helping. Let's do it. Let's talk some Yanks.
Talking Yanks with old John Boy. John Boy and Jake.
Recaps galore, weekly awards, stat lines, steaming hot takes. Get your Yankees news from these two fine dudes. It's time for Talking Yanks.
Talking Yanks with old John Boy. John Boy and Jake. Talking Yanks with old John.
Hello and welcome to Talking Yanks, presented by SeatGeek. My name is Jimmy, and sitting next to me is Jake. In the corner, we have producer BBD. Stands for Bye Bye, Dupid. Jake, how you doing?
James, BBD. Everyone live in the chat. Everyone I saw at the Met Gala last night. Heck of a night. Another good one for the books. I'm doing well, man. How about our Yankees? 10 in a row. Times are good. Thought we were getting ready for a big series versus Toronto, only to find out there's a hockey game down the road, so empty house. Come on, Blue Jays. I thought we were doing something this year. Instead, you're gonna hockey game me? I'm generally well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm waiting for an energy drink to come. This is my midday lull area. We got pushed back. Wrestled some tech on error. Not really tech. Misplacement of something. And then also wrestled Fangraphs being down, which we recorded the Talking Baseball episode that heavily relied on the website Fangraphs. So sorry for the delayness. I think Jake and Joe's are going to run the pregame show right after we're done with this. So we'll avoid the lineup and all that. We'll do our regularly scheduled midweek show. No one in the audience is going to understand this, nor do I want them to, but Sam said to me, I need to tell you because it's funny, Sam said, some given goes, and I said, I won't be going.
Yeah.
So, just need her to know that. It's pretty funny. Okay, you guys won't understand what that is, and I apologize, but I did want to tell Jay because I thought it was funny.
Goes.
Yeah. All right. We have sharp stats. Talk about Glaber a little bit. Hot Wood Award. Guess the lineup is probably going to be out by then. Do you want to start with the sharp stats?
Yeah, I think we should. It's been working. Like, I kind of same thing with us as Yankee Land. Like, at this point, don't mess with stuff.
Don't.
It's been working.
There you go.
Hey, guys. Queen of Stats here. And, well, yeah, things are really good in Yankee Land right now. And I think one of the things that people have been noticing is just how different this offense feels and looks compared to last year. So I wanted to put that into context, put some numbers behind it for you. And it all started with a tweet I sent out over the weekend about sack flies. That's right. The Yankees have 9 sack flies this year, and through 22 games last year, they had exactly 0. They didn't get their 9th sack fly until their 59th game last year. And another one of those things last year that we just hated was all those GDPs, grounded into double plays. Well, last year, the Yankees led the majors in grounded into double play rate at 13%. This year, they're at 9%, which is actually below league average. So that's a huge improvement there with the double plays. Another thing that frustrated us so much last year was all those solo homers. Well, this year, they've turned it around. 52% of their homers this year have come with men on base. That's one of the highest rates in the league. And then last year, they were at 39%, one of the lowest rates in the league. So another big difference there. And then just overall, the ground balls. Last year, they had the 12th highest ground ball rate in the majors. This year, they're at 8th lowest. And those strikeouts, we know how much we hate those strikeouts. Well, last year, we had the 6th highest strikeout rate. This year, we're at 13th lowest. We're actually below league average again. below league average in strikeout rate. And this last one might be my favorite. It's the speed. It's the steals. So this is crazy. Last year through 22 games, actually I'll do 23 because as I'm taping this, Judge just stole the Yankees' 12th stolen base of the year. So that's 12 stolen bases this year. Last year at this time, they had 4 stolen bases. And check this out. This year, they actually have 5 players with multiple steals. So 5 players with multiple steals this year. Last year, we had 4 total stolen bases through the same number of games. All right, guys. Good talking to you, and hopefully we'll have more good things to talk about next week.
Holy smokes. That's a lot of fun. Jake Ronald. To wrap it up, the offense has been a lot better this year than last year thus far. And we got a lot of reasons why. We can dive into these one at a time or kind of go on the whole, but what good info. A lot of the things we complained about last year are not happening. What stands out to you the most?
Interesting. I am trying to think where to start because there's a couple different things going through our minds right now. I think where my mind jumped to is like, okay, which one of these do I think is going to regress? Which one of these do I think I believe in the most? Actually, let's reverse engineer this. The stolen bases, Jim, they were the part of the Yankees season last year that was the most fun. The base running Yanks. Tyler Wade, Velasquez, it felt even like Judgy. Like, it feels like they have a literal green light out right outside of the Yankees dugout that they hit that, and it's go time. That's what it was last year, and it feels like it's been on this year. And it's just a flat-out important part of the game that the Yankees kind of ignored for a couple seasons. Like, there's no other way to look at it. And Tim LoCastro, people know I love Tyler Wade, Tim LoCastro has been an upgrade from Tyler. He is the ultimate stolen base weapon off the bench, so they have that move. And Rizzo, with the veteran presence and swiping bags where he can. Kiner Falefa always wants to do more. it's kind of one of his best traits. I guess the stolen bases is the first thing that jumps out that makes this team feel so different and sustainable. Like, those should continue to be there.
As long as Tilo's still getting run and they use him how they've been using him, I agree. Because he's got 4. He leads the team. Now, last year at this time, they had, what was the number? They had 4? So last year at this time, they had 4 stolen bases. This year, they have 5 players with multiple steals. With, if you do quick math, means minimum 10 stolen bases. If you go look at the data, they have 14 stolen bases.
Third in the AL.
Rizzo has 2. Kiner has 2. Do you think that pains Kiner a little bit?
I think the caught stealing pains him more than the number. I think he might be feeling a little bit of the bottom of the lineup effect that, like, if DJ and Judgy are starting to come up, like, he kind of can't go. I think that number will continue to go. But, yeah, I mean, you see it in his base running. He slipped around second the other day because he thought he might have a shot at triple. Like, he wants to go, so good. And even, dude, it's the threat. How many times have we all heard David Cone, our guy, on the broadcast say, when you're a pitcher and there's a speedy runner on base, the pitcher feels that. And that's one of the things in baseball that we still can't quantify that is very real on a baseball field that you can't measure anyway.
Well, I believe in the game, Toronto game 1, LoCastro's on first base. I think it was all fastballs. And he still stole because they didn't want to throw the off-speed and give him the chance to put a ball in the dirt, and he's automatically at second base. So it changes the at-bat, having a threat to steal. Changes the pitches that the batter's going to see.
And go back a couple years in Yankee history. Remember when it was Dellin Betances and Chapman? 2 guys that don't care about holding on runners because they're so gross at pitching. And we kind of saw that with Toronto. When Yimi Garcia was pitching for them, he's a guy that he didn't have a move to first. So Tilo was leading off first base like, hey, I'm good. I'm going to find – once I time it, I'm going to go and I'm going to steal that base. That's exactly what they did. They win the game on the Gleyber single after that. So the stolen bases have been awesome. The other thing that Katie started with, I'll be honest, I'm still a little concerned about double plays. Like, do I think those are going to come back at some point this season, and it's okay.
God damn it.
Okay, maybe it's not okay. The sacrifice flies. That's something that was so bizarre last year. I mean, runner on third, less than two outs. A fly ball scores a run. The Yankees, even last year, had a lot of guys that hit fly balls. That never made sense to me. And I don't know if it's just energy, luck, or what it is. But the sac flies should also continue to be there.
That didn't make sense to me last year, where I consider this year to be normal, because it kind of goes into their approach last year that they would hit sac flies. And this year, like, right, it would be a little less. So that I don't understand at all. But yeah, they have nine sac flies this year, and at this point last year they had zero. Going back to stolen bases a little bit, I just told you the people who have the stolen bases this year. Judge has two, Rizzo has two, Kiner has two, DJ has one, Trevino has one, and Locastro has four. Last year, the first month of the season, the Yankees had four stolen bases. Yes, three people had them.
I mean, Wade, Gleyber, Gardy?
Gleyber had one. Gio Urshela had one. And Mike Tauchman had two. Better.
Better.
Better. Like, to sum up all of these stats, I'm taking the sac fly out because I really don't even understand that one.
Okay.
But the grounded and double play, if we want to say, why is this better? Like, if you want to, like, hunt for the change that allowed this to happen, which isn't always the case, but if you just kind of want to play the game, ground and double play, you could say, well, we're faster. Gary, Gio, Voit were not beating out a double play. They were making it easy on the defense to turn them. No rush at all. And now, Higgy Trevino, that's probably a wash there.
Yeah.
But Kiner, Donaldson beat an infield single twice. He's not, I don't think, much faster, but I think he just kind of has a little more of a momentum and a little more of a charge. I don't know.
I guess I am a little worried the double play ball is going to come back at some point, because the formula always, unfortunately, made sense last year. The Yankees, they hit the ball hard. Like, mm-hmm. You look at Josh Donaldson, Judge, Stanton. Like, if those guys, when they do hit a ball hard at an infielder with a runner on first, it's just time plus mass equals speed. More science coming later in the episode. That's going to lead to double plays at some point. So I know we're saying that they're doing more on the bases, and like Kiner, Falefa, I mean, Glaber's been running hard down the line this year. When Hicksy's out there, like, Gallo can't get down the line. I just don't know. I think, you know, those guys you mentioned, like Rizzo, the stolen bases are nice. Rizzo doesn't exactly fly down the line. So, like, I do think those will come back a little bit, but if you're giving me everything else, I don't care. Like, the double play stuff, even last year, felt there's a luck factor to it.
Last year didn't. It felt like, hey, you're hitting the ball hard and you're slow, and they're shifting you perfectly. The big one is the solo home runs. 52% of the home runs at this time last year were hit without, or no, sorry, 52% of the home runs this year have been hit with a runner on base. That's, I don't know comparatively how the whole league reacts or works or that way, but that seems high to me. Seems awesome. Last year, 39% came with a runner on. It was a lot of solo home runs. And I mean, I feel it when the other team hits a solo home run, when Cole gives up a solo shot or Tanaka gave up a solo shot, it's like, oh, solo shot never killed you. So that seems like a pretty important one. I'm trying to figure it out, because Rizzo has nine homers. One, two, three, four, five, six have been with runners on. So who's getting on in front of Rizzo, DJ? And then Rizzo's getting on in front of Judge?
Jim, I'll give you two guys that are hitting homers and two guys that are getting on before them. It's Kiner, Falefa flipping the lineup over and getting back to the top. And it's the resurgence of DJ LeMahieu. It's why we talked about how he is so important to this team. We had a mid-year episode last year where the three of us, we all said if we could change one thing about the Yankees, it would be fixing DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah.
And DJ LeMahieu is back at the top of the lineup before Anthony Rizzo, who had a better April than Judge, and Judge, who now, a couple days into May, is having one of the best seasons of any baseball player. So, yeah, I mean, for me, that recipe makes a ton of sense.
Judge only has three of his eight with runners on as he hits one. One, DJ got on. And then another one was we were at the game and the Orioles had an error fest. And let everybody on. And then the before that, Kiner had a single and Higgy had a walk before him. So, but Rizzo has a lot of his with runners on. Good for him. Striking out less. They were the sixth highest strikeout percentage last year. Now they're the 13th lowest.
I'm interested to see where that lands. I mean,
well, if DJ's DJ again,
right?
If Glaber reverts to kind of contact Glaber, and if Kiner, who leads the team in contact, there's a chance this doesn't balance out and this kind of stays. Maybe not as drastic, but
yeah, at the end of the day, and you and I, we've had a lot of conversations about strikeouts lately. You know, putting the ball in play does matter, and it's allowed stuff to happen. You mentioned that Orioles error fest.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of those were tough plays that the Orioles could not make, which allowed the Yankees to take advantage. For me, it's just going to be pure feel. If it comes to the midway point in the season and the Yankees are 21st in strikeouts, but I'm not sitting here feeling that. I know that's a tough way to measure it, but, you know, I know Stanton's going to strike out sometimes. I know Judge is going to strike out sometimes. That's okay. So it just goes with the general team feel where at no point this year have I been looking up and down the lineup and been like, oh, like XYZ starters going today, you know, the Yankees are going to have 10 strikeouts. Like the at-bats have felt good.
Can I give you some more numbers on this stuff?
Love more numbers.
So, team advanced batting, strikeout percentage. Okay, so the league average strikeout percentage last year on the full year was 23%. Right now, it's 22.8%. Of qualified hitters, I can kind of turn that off if you want me to. It's kind of a little hard. I'm going to turn it back on. Of qualified hitters last year, three guys were below league average in strikeouts. DJ LeMahieu, Gleyber Torres, and Brett Gardner. Gio Urshela, Aaron Judge, Stanton, Gary, and Odor were above.
Odor.
Let me see some guys that didn't really qualify for the Yankees there, but we can look at them. Is Luke Voit. He was obviously above. Joey Gallo was above. Clint Frazier was above. Higgy was above. Wade was above league average. That's kind of everyone that had it at bats. This year, they have 5 below league average and 5 above league average out of qualified batters right now. Would you want to try and guess the below? It's more fun.
So the 5 hitters in the Yankees lineup that are below league average in striking out?
Yeah.
I'd say DJ.
Yes.
Point me.
Point you. 13%, lowest on the team of all qualified hitters.
I'd say Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
15.6%.
That's a good thing.
Yep. League average is 22.
Anthony Rizzo.
Yes, 15.3%. So that actually I think is maybe...
So it's a tangible change.
That's a big one.
It's a tangible
change. To have him for the year over Voit, who was at 33%.
Right. Let's see. So there, I'm looking for 2 more under. Like, does Glaber qualify?
Yeah, Glaber's 16%. He's under, and the other is Aaron Hicks.
Okay.
20%, so just under. Higgy, Donaldson, Judge, Stanton, and Gallo are over right now.
Okay. And, I mean, Judge and Gallo will be there. Probably Higgy, too.
Probably Higgy too and Stanton.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's just, but Rizzo's a big one to add to the bottom.
It's true. It's true. Rizzo and, I mean, you know, Kiner Falefa. And, you know, if the comparison is him and Glaber last year, like, I think we're all interested to see where Glaber's numbers end up this season, and I think might be a perfect segue to start talking about him a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, Kiner Falefa, there's one thing he does. He puts the ball in play.
One thing that hasn't happened is last year Donaldson was below average. Right now he's struggling a little bit. He's just starting to get walked more, but he was below average slightly, 21%, average was 23%. But if he can go back to that, then I think that can really maintain itself, that they will be top half of the league in strikeout percentage.
I guess in
the good way.
My hesitation isn't around the Yanks. That's where I went feel. It's just I know hitting was down kind of across baseball.
Well, that's so why I did against the league.
If the Yankees do start to slide a little bit more, because the league hasn't been hitting at all.
Yeah, but I'm comparing him to the league average here.
But that's what I'm saying. I think the league might change. And if the Yankees feel the same, but they start to slide, I don't care. That's where I'm going on feel.
I think they'll stay in that, like, you know, 10 through 15 range, slide with the league. I believe it got better. I think they attacked that. Want to talk about Glaber?
I think we should.
I might bet make a bet on DraftKings tonight. Glaber, never been more confident. And he is a confident player. So I might take out my phone, open the app, go to the DraftKings Sportsbook, and just put some money on Glaber getting a hit.
I'll go do that right now.
Like, just, I think, like, total bases over one, whatever it is. I mean, he's starting, right?
He is.
Okay. So I'm going to DraftKings. I'm going to place a little money on my dude Glaber, who's just full of confidence right now because he was the hero in Game 1 versus Toronto, to get a hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and you can use promo code JOHNBOY, and you bet just $5, and you win $200 in free bets if your team wins their game. Use that $200 of free bets, and you make it, you know, parcel it out, you know, slowly and safely and responsibly, and you have some fun when Glaber gets hot. Promo code JOHNBOY at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. 21 plus, restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission. See show notes for details. All right. And we want to talk about Glaber a little bit.
I think we should, Jim. How about him?
He's clutch. And I think that is a fun conversation about Glaber Torres. That even when he has had down years, he still comes through. He's tied for fourth in walk-offs since 2018. 2020 was an awful year, and he was great in the postseason. He comes through yesterday in a big moment. He's got a 988 OPS in the playoffs. He's got a 413 on base percentage in the playoffs, and we're talking about 22-game sample, small, but, I mean, that is when you get measured. And that isn't, like, that's spread out decently. So there's more numbers surrounding this. But I think it just kind of, we wanted to point out, like, we have a kind of an opinion on why he's able to come through in those situations.
Glaber Torres. And we're going to see how much it matters for the rest of the season. Like, you know, let's be honest. We're not out of the woods yet. Yankee fans, in recent weeks, we've seen a couple results we like. A couple things we like from Glaber. He's got the walk-off hit. He had a big hit in Toronto. And, yeah, like you're saying, Jim, I mean, the postseason numbers, we forget about those a little bit. Glaber has been good in the postseason. And, Jim, he put on a display earlier this week in Toronto when the Yankees won 3-2, he was responsible for all three of the runs. He had the opposite field homer, the inside-out home run. That swing from Glaber is so important to his success. If he can find the porch, which if you can find right center in Toronto, you can find the Yankee Stadium porch, that leads to some extra base hits for him. And, Jim, more importantly, later in the game where he had the game-winning hit, he does the same thing. And, man, his bat is something you hear analysts say a lot. his bat stays through the zone for so long. It's Glaber's best skill. We always laugh. The scouting report when Glaber was a prospect was just that he's a really good baseball player. And we said, well, what does that mean? Does he have power? Does he have really good contact? Does he have speed? And, I mean, as we've come to grow and know Glaber Torres, you kind of get it. Like, you see it. There's times he makes a play at second base, and you're like, eh, pretty good. Time you see him turn a double play, and you're like, his arm's pretty strong. There's times you see him hit a home run, and you're like, that's pretty good pop from a guy his size. But what makes Glaber Torres special is, man, keeping his bat head through the zone, adjusting to breaking balls when they happen, that's Glaber Torres' skill. And, man, if he has that, which we're going to find out, he went on a little hot streak end of April, May. You know, he had 10 games where he was hitting over 340 and the OPS was approaching one dot. We'll see. Yankee fans needed to see this. We needed to know that Glaber Torres can even have these stretches in him, because let's be honest, we watched some tough baseball. Even to start this season, it wasn't too clean from Glaber, but he is showing the signs. And more importantly, like, Jim, if he had a two-homer game where he hit two 450-foot homers, I think you and I are more impressed by this game where he had the one homer the opposite way and then the game-winning hit.
Well, they're impactful. They mattered for the game. He's got the walk-off ready. Can't bet on him tonight?
No, sorry.
Because they just know?
They didn't know if he was going to be in the lineup, so they probably was that. But
no, I think they knew it was a lock, so they don't want us getting rich off it.
Smart.
I get it. Whatever. His chase contact is way up, which is kind of what you're saying. Not taking that A swing all the time and going with the pitch. It is the highest it's ever been in his career. It's almost 11% higher than his average or something like that. 66% chase contact. So when he's swinging at a pitch out of the zone, he's still fouling it off or putting it in play or something like that, not just missing, which his average in his career is 58. But the league average is 54. He's at 66. So that helps him out a whole bunch. His zone contact remains the same, 79%. That's right in league average. So I if you're swinging a bad pitch, it helps if you spoil it or you stay alive and you don't miss. So that's that being up is good, and that being way above league average is good. I think that just tells you that he's not using that I'm going to take my A swing and swing for a home run every time. And he's doing exactly what you said. The numbers kind of support that he's just trying to get bat to ball.
And maybe this is silly. Maybe people laugh at this. Maybe they won't. I'm always making jokes. Glaber Torres, we forget who's on the actual Yankees roster sometimes. Aaron Judge is a monster of a human. He's 6'7", 280. He'd be one of the, like, the bigger tight end. He'd be the biggest tight end taken in the NFL draft this year. Giancarlo Stanton quite literally hits the ball harder than any person to ever play the sport. Glaber Torres, he listed 6'2", 200. When you're trying to hit home runs with those guys, I mean, it's trying to go out the bar and keep up drinking with your you know, Andre the Giant or something like that. Like, they're on a different level. Glaber Torres, if he does his job and what he's good at, he's a really talented ball player, and he should not try to be those guys. Try to be Glaber Torres, man. Try to be DJ.
Try to be DJ. Meh.
Don't try to be DJ. Try to be Glaber Torres.
I don't
think
he'd enjoy DJ's life.
He likes to... Glaber smiled. I love that. Like, have some fun.
It is good.
Have some fun, dude. You're 25. You're on the Yankees.
Can I say something else about Glaber that has nothing to do with his clutch hitting? He's turned some nice double plays up the middle. Like going to his right, grabbing it, flipping it to Kiner.
Jim, he also, and confidence is a very real thing in sports, he turned a double play And it was a big one for the Yanks. It was during the Glaber game.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of pimped the turn a little bit.
Oh, you think so?
He loaded up the cannon. It wasn't a speed turn. It was a caught it.
I'm gonna find this.
Bring it up. Maybe we'll put it in here. Now if that had backfired, I would be freaking out and sending out.
I hate my mom.
Bogus tweets. Yeah, but the fact he did it means Glaber's feeling good. He's feeling confident. Because how many times did we see that throw last year where Glaber didn't feel as confident? And you could just tell by the look and the release.
Yankees turned 3 double plays in game 1 versus Toronto, and the Blue Jays turned 0 against the Yankees.
Whoops.
Wow.
6 outs to none, kind of. Not exactly how it works, but.
I have the footage. We're going to watch it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it's this one.
This is the only one.
It was the one later in the game.
Oh, wait. Well, let's watch this one.
Okay. This will be our practice
watch.
The
1-2.
I think this is the one I was talking
about. Up the middle,
about.
Backhanded by Torres. Flip it to Kiner for left.
It's kind of simple, but Glaber couldn't make a lot of simple plays.
It's a nice flip.
Look at his little jump.
Falefa's throws a little weird to me.
Well, he, yeah.
It's just a high release.
Yeah. All right. So which one are you talking about?
I think
so at the 8th inning, I think.
Loaizaga pitching?
Yeah, Loaizaga's in a jam.
Yes,
yeah,
would have been hit to IKF. I don't know if that changed the terms.
And yeah, watch this. I mean, Glaber really plants it, loads up the arm, and lets it rip.
I'm going to pause it and let it buffer.
We're going to let it buffer. You want me to broadcast it? Loaizaga, here's the pitch. Uriel to short.
Grounded to flip. Short.
Oh, wow.
Right at the load. Here's the flip. Maybe it wasn't that double play. Was that? No, that's the 6th inning. This is in the 8th.
You said Loaizaga.
I did say Loaizaga.
Okay.
But I don't think it was.
We've watched all 3 now.
Now we've watched all 3. This is the one. Yeah, this is like the big moment of the game.
This is the big moment of the game brought to you by Jake.
Big moment of the game. Clay Holmes rocks and fires
Wait.
To Chapman.
Grounded to short to second one.
And am I right? Is that not pimping a double play?
Let's
a little
watch
bit?
It on the Yes feed too. Yeah, he kind of pauses.
Yeah, like and hey,
charged it up.
You know what I don't hate it.
You know what he did? You know what he said in his head there?
What's that?
And now you're out.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he went the bad guy in the movie a little bit.
Yeah. Like, let him know. Like, now. Hey, loading bar. Load better.
Here we go.
I'm going to let it load. Fully load. Fully loaded.
There it is. Charlie Angels.
This should be 2. There's 1. And there's 2. He got just what he needed.
That's, unfortunately,
this should be 2.
And
there's
now.
1. And there's 2. He got just what he needed.
Okay. We like it.
I mean, and I know, luckily, we watched all 3 double plays. That second one, that's how you turn a double play. You pop it over. Glaber caught that one. And I think he said something like, you're out.
Now you're out.
Good job, Glaber.
Good job to the Glaister. Okay, we have a very, very special award that we're giving out now on the midweek episodes.
Hotwood.
We already gave out the award for March, right?
Yeah, Higgy.
Higgy, he commented on Instagram. He said, awesome. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
He won the Hot Wood Award. It was, you know, a March award. This is an in-season Hot Wood Award, which is brought to you by Roman, because when the moment for intimacy arrives, you're going to want your wood to be a little hot. Whether you're in a relationship for years or just getting started, having the confidence that comes from preparation means you're free to enjoy the moment and fully utilize your hot wood. ED is more common than most people think. In fact, 52% of the men between the ages of 40 and 70 will experience some form of ED. The benefits of treatment can help you reconnect with your partner or /and rediscover the joy of sex. So get your wood hot. Make sure it stays hot. Take care of yourself. Talk to someone. Go to GetRoman.com/Yanks today, and if you're prescribed, you get $15 off your first month of ED treatment. Make sure you're ready to have confidence and control this fall and be Roman Reigns. So this is just the month of April.
That's very important.
Which is very important. It comes down to a two-man race, Jake. Who had the hottest wood in the month of April for the Yankees? Because now if we were to include April and May 1st and May 2nd,
it could be a different
Could be a different winner. I think it is a different winner if we do that, but we're not doing that.
James.
It's just the month of April.
And you know me.
Always joking?
A little bit. This was about to be a little bit of a joke.
You're always joking.
Because I want to talk about some other guys' hot wood. Because, like, you know, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, you know, he slapped it around pretty well. He had that slow start. His wood got pretty hot. A lot of contact from him.
I mean, that's what I just said. He has the highest contact percentage. Or I said that about Glaber, sorry, but Kiner-Falefa's got 92.4% contact in the zone, 85% contact anywhere, and that no one else is kind of close to him besides DJ. So he's got some hot wood.
In a way, that wood was hot. You just mentioned DJ. His wood has been pretty warm. Aaron Hicks got off to a nice little start this season, but James, the hot wood came down to two people, the lefty and the righty, Rizzo and Judge. I mean, Rizzo got off to a start that was kind of unreal, capped off by that three-homer night. We'll have that forever. Aaron Judge pulled just a classic Aaron Judge on us. Like, it's an okay start to the season. And then he started going nuts. And he's having one of the best starts in the league. Anthony Rizzo finishes with 21 games, 273, 391, a 1.067 OPS, 9 homers, 21 RBI, 2 stolen bases, like we talked about.
Doesn't factor in to the hotness of the bat.
I don't know. I think that gives you a little bit of confidence.
No, I'm strictly talking about hot wood.
If Rizzo wasn't confident in his wood, I don't know if he would have been so aggressive on the bases. But you know that next time you come up.
I actually think he doesn't. I think he fully compartmentalizes both. Like, he doesn't let his hitting affect his running, nor his running affect his hitting.
Now, Aaron Judge.
He's pretty cool like that.
20 games, 293, a little better than Riz, 361. Little less, a 961 OPS, 6 homers. Jim.
Now, can I make an argument
for Judge? I would love for you to make an argument for
Judge. Make an argument for Judge.
Losing argument.
Because we agree it comes down to Judge and Rizzo, right? So you want hot wood. Yeah. Judge has a better line drive percentage.
Wow.
That's hitting it hard, right? He's got a better barrel percentage, 27.8%. Of the time, Judge barreling it up. Rizzo only 15. Judge 15 barrels, 10 barrels for Rizzo. So the ball's coming off Judge's bat a little harder.
So you want to give it to Judge?
No, I'm just making an argument.
You think Judge
I'm making an argument for Judge.
Okay.
My vote's going to Rizzo.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And it is Rizzo.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Congrats to Rizzo.
Congrats to Rizzo. Again, I need to tell the people, if you're listening to this right now, Rizzo or Judgy with 2 homers in May, I'm sorry. That doesn't help your hot wood in April. Anthony Rizzo, and good for him, man. What a month.
Yes.
For a guy that we came into the season, we were like, you know, Rizzo's going to Rizzo. He had one of the best months of any baseball player. Congrats, Anthony Rizzo, the Roman hot wood winner. Can't wait to tell him.
He's going to be so happy.
He's going to be stoked.
We should get a trophy or something, no?
It's like a burning piece of wood.
Something like that.
It's like the bottom of a fire pit like in a dustpan.
Eternal flame. A sterno.
Let's brand him. Hand him a flaming torch.
It's kind of funny.
Congrats, you've won this.
Here you go.
We should tell Higgy that he has to actually pass it on to Rizzo for us.
Yes.
If you could let him know.
he can do the branding if he wants.
Man.
First time I've looked at Rizzo's like Savant page, like this season.
It's good.
The hitting numbers support what we've seen.
Damn.
What are you thinking of over there?
We were going to do guess the lineup, but the lineup's already out. And then,
Would you have guessed this?
Would not have guessed this.
Oh, I didn't look at it. What is it?
Do you want to guess it?
Sure. No, I guess I'm not. I didn't want to sneak pregame show brain into this episode. You want me to guess it? I haven't seen it.
You can guess it quick, and then we'll probably close this and log on for pregame show in a couple minutes to actually talk about it. So I'll let you guess it.
DJ leading off?
Wrong.
Hicks leading off?
Right.
Who are they facing?
Manoah.
So they're going to fucking steamroll some lefties in there because they're scared of them. Is that what's happening? So is it DJ? Is it Hicks leading off? Judge 2?
Mm-hmm.
Rizzo 3? Stanton 4,
mm-hmm.
Gallo 5,
mm-mm.
DJ 5,
mm-mm.
Tilo 5,
mm-mm.
Marwin 5, Glaber 5.
You're just forgetting a person.
Donaldson 5.
Yes.
Just forgot about Donaldson.
It's okay.
So that's two righties then, right? So then Gallo 6?
No Gallo.
No Gallo?
No Gallo.
Did we say DJ already? I don't know. I'm fucking lost already.
No DJ, no Gallo.
Hicks, Judge, Rizzo, Stanton, Donaldson, Glaber, Marwin, Kiner, Falefa, Trevino.
Where's Marwin playing?
Left field.
They like Tilo off the bench too much to start him. And I kind of whatever.
Marwin hasn't played in
forever. Marwin hasn't played in a while.
Fake part of this team.
And Hicks is, who's DHing?
Stanton.
Hicks in center, Judge in right, Marwin in left.
Ooh, Marwin's 3 for 5 off Manoah, so that's a little how that decision.
Didn't he play against him last time they faced Manoah? And I said maybe he.
He's our Manoah killer.
That's what I said, but it didn't come. I was kind of a joke. It didn't come true. Didn't he play against him last time we faced Manoah?
Let's see. Manoah 6 shutty. He started at shortstop. He had a walk in and out. That was a long time ago. That was coming off the Red Sox series.
Second series of the year.
Kiner's first rest day.
Oh.
Yeah. No DJ's tough. But. All right, everybody. You laugh?
Yeah, someone tweeted, how does this guy have so many followers? He's awful. To the video I posted last night, sure. The awful video. It's cracking me up. That video is awful, man.
Tough video.
But some people were so mad. Yeah, it's awful. You watched it, right?
I'm assuming I'm thinking of the right video. That's.
You might not be.
The awful one.
I'm thinking of one that I really
like. You
gotta
stop phrasing it that way. Not Joe's.
Ah. I liked that video.
No, that's a great video.
Yeah. I didn't know the awful video for a while.
I tweeted it last night. I just said, this is awful. It's panic-inducing. Gives you anxiety. You can feel your heart dropping as you watch it.
It's a bunch of pitches without the result.
Yeah, just throwing into the void. I'm watching it again now, and I can feel my chest getting
I didn't hate
tight.
It as much, because at first I thought the video was about like his form or something. So I was just like, ooh, okay. Let's see the arm angles.
No. But,
yeah. Not knowing the result of a pitch is no fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I think every a couple months I'm going to like tweet out just really, and I'm going to tweet it out and say, don't watch this. Just like a guy swings, but you never get to see where the ball goes. Or like the shortstop fields, it throws it the first, but it cuts right before, just unsatisfied.
Oh, you should do bang, bang plays at first.
Yes, but you don't get to see. No. I think like it's funny that, I showed my sister who's not a baseball fan. It didn't affect her at all. She's right. Like, anyone that's a baseball fan, like, that needs to know the satisfaction.
Again, I'm so far in the game. I was looking at the guy's release point. I was like, oh, is he tipping?
Yeah, that's what some people were thinking.
That's what I thought it was, yeah.
But some people were so mad about it. It was cracking me up.
Pest.
I was laughing.
You're a pest.
I was laughing. Just sending screenshots.
Thanks, everybody.
See you guys.
Free game show coming up soon.
Go Yanks. Tell them, Grams.
Go Yankees.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.